Hello and welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 63 for February 3rd, 2010. Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of a website called experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site we created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and the culture surrounding them. And today, noobs, we're going to talk about the Halos.
Woo!
Woo! So, I always kind of, you know, there's some games where you feel a bit inadequate having not played them.
Yeah.
As a gamer.
Yeah, like Street Fighter or something?
Yeah, but I mean, come on, what kind of nub hasn't played Street Fighter? So I had never played any Halo games. I mean, okay, to be fair, I had played them like at parties or whatever, but...
Yeah, you know. When you felt like being killed repeatedly.
Exactly, over and over again. Yeah, you're so drunk you can barely hold the controller, and then you get fragged like 20 times in a row.
And then teabagged 20 times in a row.
So I had never actually sat down with any kind of, you know, forethought to play Halo. So, you having access to all of the Halos,
yes, sir.
We decided to play through all the campaigns, and there's quite a lot of Halo to play through these days. We started with, at the beginning, Halo 1.
Yeah, which, by the way, I had to adjust for my television to make it look disgusting. It was awful.
Yeah, I mean, the whole trying to finagle the Xbox 360 to show us both standard def content and... horizontal split screen rather than vertical split screen was just a nightmare. But anyway, so what we decided to do is kind of every so often check in about Halo, and what we're doing this episode is talking about Halo 1 and 2.
We're going way back.
We're going old school with Halo, because I feel like it's kind of a good demarcation line, because after Halo 2, you make the jump to the 360.
The next gen, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's fun to every now and then look back on some of the games that, you know, we don't really talk about as much anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, Halo 3 and ODST, and good God, it's become a huge franchise these days.
Their whole, like, expanded universe and stuff around Halo.
They were birthed right here, you know, the first one, so.
Yeah. Okay, so I had never played it before. You had.
Yes.
Is there anything that jumped out at you, just first impressions going back into the world of Halo?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you don't spend, like, every Friday night playing Halo Deathmatch or whatever.
No, I don't.
But, yeah, okay.
I really liked Halo 3, so I want to start off with that. And the entire time playing through both Halo 1 and Halo 2, I was constantly reminded by the slight adjustments between the titles that made me pine for the newer model. You know, Halo 1 was just, I couldn't dual wield. I mean, I know that a lot of these things sound like I'm just complaining, and they're not actually aspects of the game.
Well, now having played Halo 2, that blew my mind when I could dual wield. Yeah.
There are so many things that, little things that pop out at you as like, remind you that you're playing an old game.
Yeah.
And I do think that even though Halo is... a classic. Mm-hmm. I think you could say Halo 1 is absolutely classic.
Yeah.
A lot of gaming magazines announced it as one of their top games of the decade.
Yeah.
It's aged. It feels old to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deny that. So.
Mm-hmm. It's funny when you say aged, because you're talking about like...
Not like a fine cheese or wine.
Yeah, like wine that's been left out, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, not to be completely contrarian, but it felt very fresh to me, because I felt like I had played first-person shooters that had far worse AI than Halo 1 did. And we're talking about 2001, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and also maybe this could make a difference too. We played on not normal mode,
Legendary.
But hard, which is the equivalent to hard mode or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're elite and all
we're
that.
We're elite, yeah. We bring the blue sparks.
So, I mean, I felt like there were times when we were fighting against Covenant that... the AI was much better than something that even something like Far Cry 2. I was far more impressed with the Halo AI than some of the newer stuff. I've never played Borderlands, but what did Borderlands feel like?
Borderlands,
they just were like charging at you.
They did all that. And I'm just one of the few people who really didn't like Borderlands when I played it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are animals, but they just charge at you.
Yeah. But I mean,
they don't take cover. You know, it doesn't look like they're working together.
Mm-hmm.
it felt, even in Halo 1, it felt like the enemies were coordinating.
Yeah.
Like, they would actively try to flank you.
Yeah. I mean, like, they react based on, like, what kind of firepower you were throwing their way. Like, if you threw a grenade, they wouldn't just stand there and take it. Like, you'd see them dive out of the way. The little guys...
The grunts?
Yeah, they would run away from you if they were outnumbered. Like, if they saw you holding a huge gun and some grenades and they were by themselves, they would run.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, if you kill their leaders, they'll run.
Yeah,
as well.
I just thought it was really... I mean, I understand now playing it. I never really understood the attraction of Halo, like, on its own. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, why people got into the multiplayer, but I never really understood the kind of reverence it was given in the single player until I actually spent a lot of time playing it. And then I understood a lot more about, like, what people were saying about the 30 seconds of fun repeated model.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very cyclical game.
So I haven't heard the 30-second fun repeated.
Yeah.
This is a complaint against Halo? I'm not sure.
No,
I've heard,
I mean, like, it's
before.
Not it's not necessarily a complaint. It's just a design philosophy. They design encounters to be, like, these discrete episodes, almost. Like, every firefight plays out a certain way.
Yeah.
In a similar way, but it's super fun every time. So you have this, like, half-minute or minute of intense combat, and then the combat is over, and then you go into the next arena or the next encounter, and it's a very similar feel, but it's just as fun as it was the first time, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
yeah.
it's the kind of model that something like Gears might use or Halo might use, and I think it's a model that is possible because of the way they handle your health in the game, because you can do that 30 seconds repeated, because if you take a few shots and you end up surviving, you'll end up at the place where you started out. I mean, less whatever ammo you used.
Right.
But you won't, like, your thoughts going into the next encounter will not be affected by the damage you took in the previous encounter.
Right.
So it makes every encounter seem somewhat similar, but you also have this feeling of freshness and power going into every single one.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It felt very cyclical. Like you would start off at full health, you'd take a lot of damage, you'd take some cover, you'd throw some grenades here and there, and then you'd kind of recharge again. You'd pick up some ammo, your health would go back to full, and then you'd launch into the next thing.
Yeah, and it's funny because both that mechanic and the very well-done AI kind of passed me by, I think, on this playthrough, because I'm so used to it now.
Yeah.
And it's not just within the Halo franchise. A lot of games have put in these elements, right? Whether or not they're AI who are running from you when you are overpowering them, or who, you know, react to what you're doing, but as well as the shield. I mean, there are so many games where you have a shield now that when it wears out, you can be potentially be killed.
Yeah. I thought that it must have felt, and I kind of wish I would have played it at the beginning.
Back in the day.
Yeah, because it felt like that would have been a huge departure from what you were seeing. Like, this could not be more different than something like Unreal or Quake.
Right. I mean, and that's why the game blew people out of the water.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Bungie even knew what they had on their hands at the time.
Well, I mean, Microsoft knew because they took it away from PC Apple and everyone else that had their hands in Halo. So, I mean, they must have seen something. But yeah, it felt like it was a complete departure from what was happening kind of around that time historically with first-person shooters.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially on the console too, which makes it even weirder, right? I mean, like I would argue that besides maybe GoldenEye, Halo is probably the most important first-person shooter on the console.
I think so.
Yeah, or the first-person shooter period, right? I mean, like, it changed the way without
maybe
Halo.
Counter-Strike.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Counter-Strike never made it. Like, my argument would be, without Halo, you would never have had Modern Warfare 2 come out feeling like an Xbox game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it would have been a PC game. And it felt like, I don't know, it just was very impressive.
Would you say that those same elements felt just as good in the sequel?
I was thinking about the sequel because there were some things in the first one that got really old after a while. Like, there was a lot of repetition.
Yeah, and that's why I'm surprised that there's that 30-second fight thing.
Yeah.
Because there were some fights that went on way too long.
Yeah.
Far, far too long.
Yeah.
And I think both titles suffered from that scenario happening when the Flood showed up, which are the zombie race in the Halo
which
franchise.
I didn't know about. Like, I had never done any reading about Halo
zombies
or whatever. Yeah, it's like, all of a sudden there's these weird zombie things, and you actually, that's the point in the game where you actually get a shotgun.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, it's
exactly
a zombie movie. Like,
well, like, who doesn't love killing zombies, right?
Even space zombies.
Exactly.
You kill with a space shotgun.
Yeah.
There's some universals across the galaxy.
So, that being said, I love killing zombies, but good God, the zombie scenes, especially in the first game, became really tedious.
That's funny. I thought the second game zombies were much more tedious. Because I felt like the second game zombies were much more deadly.
Yeah, they were more deadly. But, okay, here's my reasoning. One is, the zombies are kind of AI-less, right? They have one task, and that's always charging at you. Mm-hmm. And in both games, that was consistent. So that was one of the reasons it got really tedious. Mm-hmm. I think my bigger complaint would be the level design in the first game was very much subpar compared to a lot of games, even games around that time, I would say.
Yeah.
And Halo 2 improved on that. Mm-hmm. The level designs were not just going down corridors over and over and over again.
Yeah, it was very repetitive. And not only that, it was like repetitive in a kind of almost cheap sense, like, hey, it's a mirror version of what we just did because we're in the second tower.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
the Halo core where the Oracle is at in the first game is just one of the worst levels I've ever played in a first-person shooter, because it's just back and forth of the same exact hallway with just the flood coming out, flooding out, of course.
Flooding,
I would also say that the second game included more of the maybe third-party enemies while you were fighting zombies. Mm-hmm. So it included more NPC characters fighting on your side when you were playing as the Arbiter.
Yeah.
It included the flying laser shooters. I don't know what we would call them.
I guess they were the defense systems, right?
Yeah, like they were the defense system against the zombies. Mm-hmm. And they were in the first game, but in the second game, they played a bigger role.
Yeah.
So there was multiple tides of battle going on when the zombies were around.
I see what they were doing with the Flood. I mean, you get so used to fighting Covenant where it's getting to that point where you actually kind of feel like you're fighting something intelligent, something that is, you know, more or less a match for what you're throwing at it. And you start to adjust your tactics accordingly. You start to use like a blitzkrieg type maneuver of throwing a grenade, coming in, taking some shots, and doing a melee. Yeah. That was another thing. Like, the melee was, you know, very differently used than I was used to. I mean, like, it was an actual offensive move rather than someone is too close to you and it's a desperation move.
Oh, like, and it's crucial in multiplayer as
well. And so, like, you know, you get used to that. You know, you soften them up, you go in for the kill with a melee. Then all of a sudden they throw the Flood at you and it's a complete dynamic change, because all of a sudden you have things running at you. They don't care about their health or tactics or whatever. They're just there to kill.
And I think that's why you have to be really careful with zombies.
That's one of the many reasons.
Both in real life, you know, everyone stay safe out there. But also in video games, it almost becomes too easy. And these days, a lot of people are actually... I think there's a small backlash against zombies. Mm-hmm. I love killing zombies. But you've got to be careful with that. And if it's not...
You can easily have too much.
Exactly. Yeah. You can have too much.
Too much of a good thing.
If it becomes tedious... You know, Left 4 Dead has done a really good job of mixing it up with their level design. Not just the special infected.
I would imagine that if you put the Left 4 Dead zombies in the Halo maps, you would run into the same exact problem.
Completely agreed, yeah.
Yeah. It's fine, you know, to do in bits and pieces here and there. But yeah, you're right. I think it did kind of wear on me after a while. Plus the fact that we're playing on a difficulty setting that for us is challenging. Like, if we were doing it on normal, we probably wouldn't be as excited most of the time, but we probably would also die less.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, that's the choice we made, and I stand by it. Damn it. I think it's the best experience.
Hoorah.
So, I don't know. So, branching into Halo 2, I guess.
Yeah.
So much more story-driven than Halo 1. I mean, I got this vague sense that something was going on in Halo 1. And
there's something about a halo? I don't know. What is it? It's like a ring of some sort?
You know, you hear this, you know, abstract mentioning of prophets and, you know, the kind of war that's going on. But you don't really see the consequences of it. You hear about the fall of Reach. You hear about other attacks. I mean, but in Halo 2, they put you in the middle of a city that is occupied by Covenant.
Yeah.
So it kind of hits home more. It's more cinematic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the gigantic battle against the Scarab.
Yeah, the walking...
thing.
Mech.
Yeah, I mean, it oozed epic. Yeah. Right? There's a battle where you're driving a tank across a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff.
There's more of that set-piece stuff in the second one. There's a couple times where you're just on a huge kind of... I mean, it's basically a boat, but it's hovering, you know, it's like a hover boat. And it's a huge, almost building-like thing that is going across this chasm. And then you pass other boats that have enemies on them, and you have to, like, jump them like pirate ships or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, sparse,
there's just a lot more set-piece action, I would say, in the second one.
Yeah, they really pull the camera out, you know, and I think that's that, I think, was their biggest complaint from the first one, and they corrected that, which was just, you know, a lot of purple halls, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point in the second one, I did feel like maybe it was too far out, because if ever you lost your vehicle or something, you were just walking for, like, minutes on end down these huge things. It also, I felt like it suffered from more technical issues than the first one. Like, cause it just felt like the Xbox was straining under the weight of this game. Like, it's such huge, expansive corridors and the underground freeway that you go through and stuff. I mean, there were some weird things that happened every once in a while with, like, the frame rate or some of the pop-ins or something like that.
Yeah, I also think that the expansive nature also kind of... Again, I think that the level design of Halo 2 was so much better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Easily tenfold improved. Mm. But still, because they were larger, I think Bungie was stretching their legs with these new environments.
Yeah.
And there were some environments that were so large, they were hard to understand. Yeah. And sometimes it was difficult to know when enemies were attacking and how to maneuver around that environment.
Yeah.
And so a battle that should not have taken as long as it did took way too long, or resulted in far too many deaths than was, you know, made for a fluid game.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that I felt like the story... It got me actually, you know, weirdly enough, more interested in it because you get some more of the background of what's going on with the religious conflicts and the Covenant.
The brutes showing up and having their little civil war.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. But I felt like the way the end game was handled, basically, was from a game perspective, was not as fun. So...
You mean the Little Shop of Horrors guy?
Well, that was weird. That was a complete... Okay. I mean, as far as, like... You know, the game completely surprised me with the flood. The game completely surprised me once again with some weird, like, talking plant flood king type thing. Which is like, okay, that's fine. Like, I'm all for video games doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of games take themselves a bit too seriously. And so I'm fine with a game does something wild like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so remember the end of the first one. You have to blow up the ship that you initially rode in to the Halo
on. The Pillar of Autumn
And so not only are you traversing the same level that you traversed in the first level of the game...
Which was poetic,
yeah,
I think.
And cyclical, like, what? I mean, you know, it's called Halo, right? The whole thing is like, the game is a cycle. But, you know, the end where you have to blow it up, like, there's the vents that you have to throw grenades into to overload the engine. And then they do a Metroid thing where you have to escape in under X number of minutes or whatever. Right. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but we were so close at the end.
Oh, yeah. And we failed.
No, we did not fail.
We didn't.
No, we did not. We were going out on the Warthog and we were just, you know, driving out as fast as possible. And there was like guys shooting us and everything. And at a certain point... I forget who was driving. I'll just say myself. But
I was driving. I'm almost always the driver.
I think, but that's why it was weird, because I was driving.
Oh, we switched it up.
Yeah.
I see.
And so at some point, we crashed, and we got stuck on a corner, and we were, like, trying to get off, and we could see the seconds ticking down, and we got to a point where we were like, all right, no, abandon ship, and we were running to the end where we should have been driving.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because our vehicle got caught up. Yeah. So we were running as fast as we could, and I was trying to do the mental calculations, like, okay, we're running at a rate of X per second, like, we will not make this, we will not make this, and we made it with, like, 5 seconds to spare or something. It was a great ending for what was happening. I don't know, it made a big impression on me.
Apparently not for me.
Yeah. But, I mean, how did the second one end? Like, there was a fight, and something happened.
We were informed that there's a bunch of Halos, and now they're all activated.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, there wasn't a huge climactic moment. It was that fight against the brutes, and there was a multi-tiered arena where you had to jump up and fall back down. Like, they had those lift plates on it. It was a Halo encounter.
I mean, it was cute, you know?
It was circular.
I mean, Commander Keyes was there.
Yeah.
But
she didn't really do anything.
No, I think actually the climax for the second one, for me at least, was more when you abandoned Cortana.
Yeah, which was unexpected to me as well. But, like, from a game perspective, I felt like it was a bit... less
lackluster.
I mean, I don't want to say lackluster, because it was still, I think the arena was designed well, and it was fun kind of going in a circle, not only on a horizontal plane but on a vertical plane. You know, you were basically going in a sphere in that encounter. But I think it, just from a design perspective, it was less kind of bold or audacious or something, because you didn't have to do very precise work, like throwing things into a vent while people were shooting at you.
Yeah.
And then I had such a great time escaping, like, at the last second, that this game just kind of ends. You know, there's no final thing for it. But I mean, it clearly seemed like, you know, the second part of the trilogy, like this is the cliffhanger part.
Yeah, it's already been established as this is like a three-part saga.
When you first played Halo 2, did you have that huge, oh my gosh, this is a million times better than Halo 1 moment?
Yeah, I think I did, actually. Well, again, some of the things that first occurred to me were I could dual wield, mm-hmm. which was excellent. They expanded the alien weapons in the second game.
Because you had the sniper, different types of rifles,
And I remember being thoroughly impressed. Mm-hmm. And when you control the Arbiter, I was like, oh my god. Yeah. I stood up and was incredibly excited.
That was neat, too, because I didn't have much of a reason to care about the Covenant from like a story perspective. Like, oh, whatever, they're a bunch of lizard people that we get to shoot. And then once you kind of control them, you understand what they're doing and kind of the politics of what's going on. And, you know, it's a big, dumb sci-fi story, but it's still kind of interesting to see that side of things. Plus, it hammers home how much the enemies work as a team, because you have a team of Covenant with you. And so you're like, you see these grunts, and you're like, oh, sweet, grunts. You know, they'll help us with grenades, or, you know, they'll at least be cannon fodder while I kill the other things, which is how grunts are used.
Exactly, And there's a great part in Halo 2 when hunters join you, which are the huge blue guys.
Yeah,
and
tanks.
You
just
go, these guys have given me so much trouble in this game and the previous game that I could not believe that they were on my side.
And it gives you this sense of almost like camaraderie. Like, it's such a morale boost when you see hunters coming, because you know you have a tank. And so it's fine to... It's a great way to give you the other side of something. Like, it's weird to make him, the Arbiter, into a hero, almost.
And this is why I think Bungie's... They're so smart about how they work the franchise. Because I think that was a really calculated choice to give you a more aspects of the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, that those more epic moments. Mm-hmm. And there's even more communication. There's more dialogue.
But not only that, they work it into the game.
Yeah.
Like, rather than just doing all this in a cutscene, which they easily could have done. You know, you take control over it.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of humor. You know, David Cross is in it, who's just hilarious. And...
yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that it's weird, because I don't know why I had never really been that interested in it in the first place. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those weird instances in which you have a game called, like, Halo Combat Evolved. And I feel like it actually kind of lived up to, like, that ridiculous name that it gave itself. Because I really understood what was happening after I was playing that in the first-person genre.
Right.
Like, I understood... It always felt like Halo was... Halo became one of the games that joined GTA and Madden in the echelons of games that even people that aren't dedicated video gamers will play.
Yeah.
Like, they'll know when Halo comes out, they'll know when GTA comes out, they'll know when Madden comes out.
Yeah,
they don't care about Demon's Souls or something, but, like, this has become, like, a huge, marker for a game release.
Absolutely. I mean, even the multiplayer, I recall a lot of people saying, oh, you know, I don't play video games, I played Halo a couple times.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know, am I missing out by not having been on that multiplayer wave that came in? I mean, did you play a lot of multiplayer when you were doing it?
I did play a lot of multiplayer, but it's one of the things that I think is now also aged with those earlier games. Mm-hmm. And not just that playing Halo 2 online feels aged, but playing Halo 3 online feels aged. Playing ODST online still feels a little bit less robust than the games that we can now play online, like that include cover mechanics, something like even Modern Warfare 2 feels much more fresh.
Because of all the RPG elements, right? I mean, like, Halo's big claim to fame was the party system, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't really have very robust stat tracking.
That being said, I think when Halo 2 first came out, you really did miss out, because some of those battles, we ended up hooking up two Xboxes to LAN and doing 4-on-4 battles.
Mm-hmm.
And the multiplayer maps are incredibly well designed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun, yeah. I mean, there's that same camaraderie that you and I had as two-player on the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I think they managed to recreate in the multiplayer scenarios where it's 4-on-4.
I noticed, I forget what was the whole impetus of going through the Halo series. It's not like we don't have enough games to play or something.
I don't know. I think ODST dropped and we were like, oh.
Dropped. I think it might have been when we were at PAX and we were watching them play it in front of a crowd of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, this game's actually kind of cool looking. And I was seeing how the levels were made and how the players were kind of navigating and the whole, you know, circular melee system that they have. And I don't know. I think that got me excited about it, especially. And I mean, you can't get pumped. You can't get more pumped up than having like hundreds of people cheer when you know you pull off an amazing maneuver or something.
Yeah,
because it's just it's such a surreal thing to witness people cheering for a video game.
It's a really great game. And I remember before Halo 3 came out as well, being really excited for it because Halo 2 just blew me out of the water.
Yeah,
you know, when I was first experiencing it. And I mean, I don't know how excited you are for Halo 3 for us to play through it.
Pretty excited.
But, I mean, even hearing the music, you know, the score is so iconic.
Yeah.
And I believe they stuck with the same composer throughout all of their games.
They have that one, you know, whatever it's called, Master Chief's Anthem or something. Like, yeah, like
even some of the characters are just really fun and likable. Mm. You know, Cortana was used heavily to market the third game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a shame that you're not going to experience Halo 3 with that weight of marketing on you.
I actually watched the marketing Halo 3 was coming out, and it's kind of weird. Like, they did, like, the mock documentaries that were serious about, like, talking to war veterans of, like, the Covenant War and stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm interested to talk about that when we finish the next-gen Halos, because I think we'll have a lot to talk about, especially once the story wraps up.
Yeah, because I think Bungie world-building is really impressive for a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it definitely surprised me, and it then explained why people would buy a Halo book. I mean, I wouldn't buy a novel about Halo, but as someone who's bought many Star Wars novels, I can understand why someone would buy this. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, the world is actually interesting enough that I could conceive of someone, you know, buying a novel for this.
Sure. So, from your perspective, what do you look forward to in Halo 3, or what would you make? What would you change?
Yeah.
Before we see it happen.
Okay, before we see it happen, I think that the repetition of the level design is still a problem.
Like, yeah, I agree.
Less of a problem in Halo 2, but at the same time, where they got less repetitive in Halo 2, I think they also sometimes got more ambiguous. Like, I felt like there was more dead ends of places in Halo 2. Like, it was easy to get lost. I had never played it before, so sometimes I'd walk around and, like, see of sheer wall, and it's like, oh well, this is nowhere.
And again, I think that's them stretching their legs with these larger environments.
I'm interested to see how they tweak the combat, because even playing from 1 to 2, there were definite changes that they made. Like, I felt like the melee was definitely dialed back in terms of damage. I don't have any empirical evidence for this. It just felt less effective to run up to people and bash them. Which, you know, is both a good and bad thing. Like, I felt like the Flood were a lot stronger in Halo 2 for some reason. Maybe that's just because the number of waves they sent. But I felt like they were able to kill us a lot more quickly. I'm more interested to fight Flood in a variety of levels. Like, maybe levels with a lot of corridors. Because I feel like the Flood...
You didn't get enough corridors in the first Halo, or what?
Well, I like the corridors in the first Halo. Huh. Like, I just don't like them... I mean, I think I didn't mind the repetition as much as you did, because once I understood how the combat worked, and like how to recharge and how to cover and you know the utility of grenades versus, you know, saving them or whatever. Once I kind of clued into all that, I really enjoyed it a lot from a mechanical standpoint. I didn't really mind. I mean, we've had this discussion before. After I play a game for X amount of time, I don't even see the graphics anymore. Like, I just start looking at things as shapes.
Yeah.
So if they're just shapes, well, that cuts out an extra step for me.
That's
you know,
true.
Like, I mean, but I feel like the Flood are really dangerous in closed off areas. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering how we would overcome that.
Right.
Because there's some Flood that explode after you shoot them.
Sacks.
Yeah. And I mean, when Flood are just kind of charging at you in an open field, it's much more, it's just a carnival game to see how many you can shoot before they get to you.
As would be the case if zombies were coming at you in a cornfield or something.
Well, yeah.
A cornfield is actually much more dangerous.
But I mean, like, you have those Left 4 Dead moments where you're in small, confined areas and you need to figure out the best way to deal with it.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see them take on that. I'll be interested to see how and if they wrap everything up as far as the story goes, like, you know, if we're going to have to fight a big plant thing at the end or something like that. I'm not so keen on the vehicle sections. I don't know. I feel like sometimes they control kind of oddly just for the sake of controlling oddly. Like
the alien vessels in particular.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes you just have you just, like the planes in particular, I feel, are kind of weird. Like sometimes you feel like you're just kind of hovering there, and you know, they feel more helicopterish, I guess.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too sad to see that dialed back and to see them like really get back to the basics of like close quarters, like corridor combat.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that that's not how they'll go. Uh-huh. Like I have a feeling that it will look like Braveheart or something at the end. Yeah. But I mean, I was just very impressed by Halo as far as what it did with first-person shooting. Looking forward to it a lot. Having the swords was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, the swords are excellent. And multiplayer, they're just deadly.
Someone flies at you with the sword, yeah.
What did you think of the Master Chief?
I don't know. I mean,
like, as an introduction to the Master Chief?
Yeah. I mean, they don't really do... You know, after we played it and you explained some more things about Master Chief, and like I looked on Wikipedia, like he's not a very like three-dimensional character. You know, he seems to be basically some kind of clone or something like that. And it seems like
I think it's going to be Samus Aran. I
think. No, it'll just be him in a thong. I feel like that if you took off Master Chief's helmet, you would just see the stock Shepherd character,
white guy with
buzzed haircut. Yeah,
that's kind of why I like that they don't take the mask off.
Oh, spoilers! No, yeah. I knew that, but I felt like he was kind of generic. Like he's literally a space marine.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's what he is.
I mean, they even take him out of cryo in the first game.
Yeah,
you know, which makes it like, oh, it's time for the player to play his game.
Yeah, yeah. It was very. There's a good link there. Like as the game starts, Master Chief starts. I never really got the sense that, you know, he had interests and hobbies outside of Fragment Covenant. Like
he really likes knitting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean. And, you know, Cortana and he have, like, cute little banter or whatever. It's fine to, like, give your thumbs a rest or something. But that's why I could see someone liking a Halo book, just not myself.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And, like, I enjoy sci-fi. Like, I enjoy a big cheesy sci-fi story. So I understand where they're coming at it from. But I don't know. I'm not as into whatever his name is. John.
Is that his name?
I think so.
I don't know.
I thought they said that in Halo 2, or maybe that was a Halo 3 advertisement I saw.
I don't know. I didn't think so.
I'm pretty sure his name is John.
Damn.
I don't know. Maybe his name's Shepard.
It's probably Shepard. Or Samus.
Yeah.
Or Star Fox.
Oh, man. Don't get me started. I want another Star Fox game so bad. Okay. I don't know. How about wrapping up? Any thoughts about Halo 1, Halo 2?
I'm just itching to play Halo 3.
Yeah, it seemed, you were itching to play Halo 3 since we started Halo 1.
It's because I love Halo 3. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm actually, I guess it's good for me that I haven't played it, because it wouldn't look as, you know, forgive the pun, the game wouldn't look as Spartan as in comparison to 3, right? Yeah. Like, I can only hold one gun at a time. I know we got to wrap it up, but I enjoyed having only two guns, a grenade, and a melee. I feel like games like Modern Warfare kind of learned from that a little bit, because there are games out there that you just
got an arsenal on your back.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And you never have to make any choices as to, okay, should I abandon my rocket launcher, or should I risk running out of rockets and only having a pistol?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
And you do have to actually make those decisions when you're playing Halo. It's because you can't carry everything. And so I liked that. I felt like the dual wielding actually kind of detracted from that a little bit. Yeah.
Well, I liked it because you had to decide whether or not to dual wield or have easy access to your grenades.
Yeah, or reload, I guess.
And bash. Because if you choose to bash, you drop one of your guns immediately.
There's also
more kickback on a lot of the guns.
Yeah.
When you're dual wielding.
I mean, what I would tend to do is pick up, like, I would do a dual wield either, like, a gun that would have a really short cooldown time.
Like an energy weapon, maybe?
Yeah, an energy weapon and then a bullet weapon. So I would soften with the energy and shoot with the bullet.
Which is just good strategy.
It is good strategy, but I felt like it was kind of... I felt that choice was more tactical in the first one. Like, you had to actually switch weapons once you got their shields down.
Yeah.
And then go to your bullets. Whereas this one has just really streamlined it to the point of, oh, you know, that guy never had a chance. You know, like, that guy's not dual-wielding anything, and I'm just killing him.
Although I think ammo was managed fairly well. I didn't always have ammo for my secondary weapon.
That's true, and you would run out sometimes, and you'd have to, like, make that switch. I didn't feel like it was a huge problem, and there were times, like you said, when I regretted it. Like, oh, I'm carrying two things, but I kind of want a grenade.
Or even a battle rifle or a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Or a shotgun, things you can't dual wield.
Exactly. And I liked that. Like, you had to make this choice. But, you know, some of it I thought was just, like, complication for the sake of complication. Like, I thought Halo 1 was... There was some very, like, beautiful, elegant simplicity in the gameplay. And I'm always kind of loath to see it messed with too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it's nowhere near a deal breaker. I think Halo 2 overall was a much more polished experience. And, you know, Halo 3 could, I'm assuming, could only be better, right? I mean, won't it be nice to see things in 720p rather than 480? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was good. I'm looking forward to it. In a few weeks, look forward to another Halo cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Wrapping it up. All right. Well, I know... Halo was a watershed moment for a lot of people, so if you are interested in writing in and sharing your thoughts on the game, feel free to do so at experiencepoints@gmail.com.
You can also leave your thoughts in the form of comments in the comment section to our blog. Again, the site is experiencepoints.blogspot.com, and besides podcasts, we also update the site Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings with our own writings.
Mm-hmm. All right, until next time, Spartans, take it easy.
Boot up!